Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the QuitCast. My name is Becca, and I'm going to be your host today. We are talking in our two series that we're doing about why am I not writing and why am I not selling? And the last episodes have all been about why am I not writing? So this week, we're going to get straight into the why am I not selling? And the first thing I always feel like I have to address whenever we talk about why am I not selling questions is that not selling is relative. And it is possible for us to feel like we are not selling or not selling well enough without that actually being the case. And I think we talk about this in several of the different books that I have written. And so if you are hearing this again, I apologize, but I think this is a really important concept to get into our heads. When we have expectations about what is supposed to be happening, those expectations are set for some reason, right? Some of our expectations are based on our personality. And we talk about that a lot with things like Clifton Strengths, the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, DISC. Like we talk about the way that our brains are wired and how that can set expectations for what should be happening. But there are also expectations that are set based on how we assimilate information into our own brains, into the more plastic parts of our brains. So the parts that can be shaped by something, then we hear things, right? I hear this should work, that should work. Here's the new thing everyone's doing. This is how everything works, right? And we hear it with a lot of certainty. Like the people who talk about these things speak with a lot of certainty behind the words that they say. And so a lot of us then listen to those words and we have a hard time understanding what went wrong when they don't happen. But our expectations are actually set based on either unrealistic, they're unrealistic expectations because they're set on data that wasn't presented fully, or they're based on data that only applies to a very small subset of people. And so it's possible to have an expectation of success that I should be having more success than I have, even if that's not actually the case. I think it's important to acknowledge that there are some people who are listening to this QuitCast today who are going to think, yeah, I can't wait to hear why I'm not selling. Why am I not selling? And then Becca says, hang on a second. There are some of you listening who are selling in literally the top 1% of the entire industry, and you just don't realize it. And we're going to talk about that particular factor today. But I also want to acknowledge that there is a relativity to our discontent. It is possible for us to be discontent for a very good positive reason without that reason being because I'm doing all the things wrong, or because, you know, there's something wrong with my strategy or my execution or whatever. And this is the very first piece, is that there are some of us who are just wired for discontent, and not in a way that means we can't ever be happy with anything. So let's not go to that extreme. But there are some of us who are wired with that very friction heavy or friction happy drive internally, where I'm constantly resetting the goalposts, which gets a negative rap, but is actually a really good and potentially can be the source of a lot of success for us as well, right? It can be evidence of a successful personality trait. It's just that it doesn't seem that way to other people sometimes, because I have this intensity in myself that I'm never satisfied with what happens. And everyone's like, well, why can't you just be confident, or, you know, content and confident? And I would say, because that's just not how I'm wired. Like, I'm not wired to be the kind of person who rests on their laurels. And not that it's bad to be content or good to be content. It has no moral value. Being content has no moral value in terms of if I'm content with the work I've done, because there's a big difference between I am content with the amount of work that I've done, but I'm not content with the outcome, right? Like, I know I worked as hard as I possibly can, but I'm not content with the outcome because I want the outcome to constantly be higher and higher and higher. Like, that can actually be a beneficial success pattern versus that kind of nothing is ever good enough, no matter what. Like, even when I work my hardest, I'm still not working hard enough. And I still think that I'm dumb or stupid or lazy or something. Like, there is some possibility for negative wiring to enter the picture there. But what I'm talking about today is that just constant friction internally of feeling like there's something else I could be doing. I'm just not doing enough. And I think there's a lot of benefit when we're wired that way to acknowledging there's a level of contentment that I'm not going to have in terms of I feel so content I can finally stop trying to be better. That is not a form of contentment that I think some personalities are suited for. And I think we have to acknowledge that some of us are going to be watching this video and we're going to be thinking, yeah, I mean, I make a lot of money, but I really don't make enough money. And Becca's going to say, there's the thing, right? Not that you, and I'm not saying you should be content, but I'm saying you're going looking for something you're doing wrong. And sometimes there is nothing wrong. So that's the first kind of piece to talk about and get out of the way at the very beginning, right? Because there is a possibility that some of us are coming to this series looking for reassurance that we are doing something wrong so we can fix something. And we're going to get a combination of that reassurance and also probably a reminder that it's a good thing to want to strive. And it's a good thing to always be looking for the next thing that I can do, even when sometimes I have also tried my hardest and done my best in the past. And I do want to acknowledge, like, I've tried my hardest and done my best, and I can still look for other things that will push me forward. So that's the first piece, is that there is this semi-discontent, I'm going to call it a desire to execute at a higher and higher level every time you do something. And that kind of discontent can be really beneficial. But when it's not a personality thing, and when it is based not on our internal wiring that is pretty cemented in our heads, but on the expectations that we have gained from elsewhere, then that's really what we want to talk about in this particular series, are the expectations that we have created. And they're either things we assume to be true that aren't, or things we ignore that are actually true, or things we think aren't true that are. So those are the two types of things that we're going to talk about in this series. And each series, we're going to talk about a different either thing we ignore or thing we assume. And this particular episode is going to be about assuming assimilation is possible, assuming that I should be assimilating to a standard that I can't assimilate to. And the one that I use most often, because I think it's the easiest to understand, is about speed. But I also want to say there are a lot of different ways that we can assume I should assimilate to something when I really shouldn't. And it could be about sales. It could be about a tactic. It could be about my work process. It could be about anything. But specifically, the one that I see, the reason that I'm not selling that gets pushed at people is that I'm not writing fast enough. And I just want to say, for very few people have we found that it is the case that they could be writing significantly faster than they are, and they're just not meeting that goal. We do see some people who come in to like a class like Write Better Faster, for instance, where we talk about author success systems. And the whole point is to understand where you fall in all of these different systems and how could you be pushing yourself a little more, or how could we be releasing the expectations for you. So we do sometimes have people come in who are
doing things like being distracted, or who are really meant to write first thing in the morning and they're not, or who are meant to write at night and they're not, or whatever. Like, whatever it is, there definitely are some people who come into that class who are not writing at their absolute, you know, peak efficiency. And then we help them to write at their peak efficiency. But in general, this question gets asked a year after, 2 years after, 3 years after having taken a class like that, where we work really hard to find your optimal productivity. And then still there's this feeling, I'm not fast enough, I'm not fast enough, I'm not fast enough. And what's happening, it's not really about the speed itself. It's about assuming that I have to assimilate to a standard that someone else has decided is the standard, capital T, capital S, for the entire industry. And the reason I pick speed is because there are so many people who have this, who preach this sort of like, write as fast as you can, write a book a month, release, release fast, release fast. And so we have this like rock rolling downhill feeling of like the industry speed is getting away from us and we're not sure how to stop it. And that makes us feel very scared when we are not people who write super fast. But I just want to say that the problem underneath all of that discussion is not the speed. The speed is not bad. It's not the people who write fast or who write 12 books a year or 52 books a year or whatever people are writing these days. It's not that those people are bad or doing something wrong. It's that when you person, right? Like not the industry as a whole. This isn't critiquing that in that part of the industry. This is me as a person. When I am not capable of meeting a standard that I have assumed I should assimilate to, then I start getting frustrated with myself and trying to beat up on myself and hoping that that beating up on myself will make me meet that standard. When in reality, the standard is unmeetable for me, which is the first part that's important. And also, the standard is not necessary to be met. That's the other piece. And that for me is maybe even more important than I can't meet the standard. Because if the only way to make money in the entire industry was to release a million books a year, then only people who were capable of releasing and writing that many books would be able to make money. But that is not the case. That is not the case. And I cannot explain this in any more like concrete terms than the fact that if that was the rule, if the rule was you have to release fast in order to make money, then literally no one would be able to not do it. And this, we're not talking like, oh, there's one exception to the rule here. We're talking, there's probably a third to more, but a third in our research has been the consistent number. Roughly a third of the industry is just, who is a moneymaker, is just not even paying attention to how fast they're writing. Like not even, it's not even, and I don't know how to say this any other way, right? It's not even on their radar. The numbers are not meant to say you have to fall in. The numbers are meant to say there's a large amount of people in each of these segments. So if we say roughly a third and potentially a little bit more than that is not even concerned with speed. They don't even think about it. It's not on their radar. And then roughly a third, probably a little bit less than that is trying to write as fast as they can, but they're only able to produce a smaller number of books a year. It's not quite a third. But, and then we have the last segment, which is the people who are writing fast and making money because they write fast. And each one of those segments is comprised of people who are wired differently from each other. And I feel like it's so important to acknowledge, and again, that the issue with assuming that there's a standard I have to assimilate to could be in multiple directions. It could be that the people who are in that, you know, bigger than a third, again, it's bigger than a third of people who are releasing quickly, who are thinking that they should release slower in order to be able to, you know, in order to be able to fulfill the needs of their fans. And the hardest issue for me is that we haven't seen that to be the case. So we haven't seen that it necessarily is better if you slow down. For some people, that clip is a really beneficial clip for them. It helps them to continue to execute fast. It helps them to continue to get books out fast. And then for some people, it's just not the case. It's not the case. But the thing that we miss, and this is super important, is that what doesn't happen is you don't see a giant number of people who are releasing fast and then like no one else, right? And what we also see is that there are also a lot of people who are releasing fast, who are writing books consistently, who are pumping them out, who are not making money. And that is just as important to understand as the fact that people are making money releasing books really fast. So again, this is not to say what anyone in the industry should or shouldn't teach. I'm happy that everybody teaches what they teach. I'm happy when people put out the success system that works for them. This is not about them. This is about us as individual writers. This is saying, when this doesn't work for me, when I am a fast writing person, it doesn't work for me to slow down. When I am a more deliberate writing person and it does not work for me to speed up, that is not a problem. You are not creating a problem for yourself just because you're not meeting this standard that everyone says you should meet. And again, the primary core of this issue is that we assume that I have to assimilate to a standard just because a lot of people say it. And it's so important to understand. And this isn't just about, again, one outlier, two outliers, three outliers. It is a statistically significant portion of the population of writers. The difference is, and the reason I wanted to talk about speed specifically as the assimilation thing, is because the difference is that most people who don't write fast and who make money don't talk about it, because there's such a, that can't possibly be happening, or it comes across as being, I don't know, like that somehow it's better to write that way, when the people who write on the deliberate side are just as frustrated. So it's not that there's somehow this, again, there is no moral failure or success from doing things one way or the other. What is the success is, are you doing what you are supposed to be doing? And the way you tell what you're supposed to be doing is what has worked for you, what you are wired for, what gives you that light up feeling, right? Like there are all these different ways that we tell how you fit into the success system that you're supposed to be in. And we're going to talk about more of them as we go along later in this series. But I wanted to specifically talk about this first, because I feel like this assuming that I have to assimilate to something, to some other standard other than the one that I am assimilating to right now and my success patterns, is one of the most fundamental problems that we see. And we see people trying to write super uber like fast and turning off the faculties that make them a really good writer. And we see people who are trying to slow themselves down because they feel like everyone is saying, you can't possibly write good books if you write fast. Oh no, that's not the truth. There are people who absolutely can write good books when they write fast. There is no assumption of quality. And I say this from the data, not just from like my, I wish this was true, but there just is no assumption of quality with slower books. And there is no assumption of quality with faster books. It's all about who the individual person is. There's a fairly famous writer in the writing community who is very, very fast and has been fast for multiple years and is extremely successful and whose readers love their books. And they take a lot of flack for being that fast. And I always feel like we need to pull back on how we judge other people in the industry and worry about ourselves. Again, it's like, worry about myself. Don't worry about what other people are doing, and not in a competition strength way, right? All of you competition people, don't hear that I'm telling you to stop comparing. But the majority of us are not wired that way. And we need to stop worrying about what other people are doing and worry about ourselves. So the very first reason often that we are not having the kind of success that we want to have is that we have assumed that there's a standard of success that I have to assimilate to if I want to be successful. And because I'm not assimilating to that, then I'm somehow not successful. And I want to question the premise of that. And really, that's what each one of these episodes about why am I not selling are going to be all about. They're going to be all about questioning the premise of the things that we assume to be true and the things that we ignore as true that actually are true that can affect the way that either we feel about success or can affect the way success happens. So not all of these are going to be just, let's change our mindset. Right? Because some of them are going to be. This one is definitely a mindset question, but not all of these are going to be mindset questions. So I do think it's really important to take a second and acknowledge, am I a deliberate writer? Am I having success as a deliberate writer? And if I am, then I know that there is a segment of the industry where it's possible. And this isn't about genre. It isn't about anything. It's about platform. It's about, can you build a platform that can sustain that? And if I am a faster writer and people are making me feel like I'm not writing good books because my books are so fast, I would say, let's look at your sales. Because if your sales are up, then you are meeting the reader's expectations and you're doing what they want you to do. And there's so much that we talk about in this industry where we have this feeling of like, my standard of whatever it is the standard that everyone uses. And I hate to be the person who tells everyone this, although I would assume most of us know this already. That's not true. My standard is my standard. And the way standards are set in the industry has nothing to do with any one individual person. It's all about pockets and niches and groups and markets, right? So that's a whole large collection of standards. My individual is going to be different. So anyway, we'll talk about that later because that is one of the assumptions that we make as well. But I want to really nail at the end of this discussion, my goal for us when we talk about these is as we question the premise of some of these things, some of us need to go back and really heavily question the premise of the assumptions that we've been making about our own success in this industry. And we may need to talk to people about it. We may need to have a community that we can share this stuff with. I highly recommend that you get together with some friends as you discuss this. Also, all of these things are in this book that's over my shoulder with the black cover. If you find that book, it is Dear Writer, You're Doing It Right is the current title. We keep changing the title of this book. And who knows if it's the final one, but hopefully the cover will remain black. This is the black cover. It's Why Am I Not Writing and Why Am I Not Selling? But we're going to keep doing these for free on the podcast because I feel like this is important information that everybody needs to have. So we're just going to keep delivering them. So for now, I want you to question the premise of your expectations about how you assimilate to standards and look for other people who do success the same way that you do instead of looking at people only based on how visible they are, how much money they make, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, we'll talk more about this as we go along. I'm so glad to have you all here today. I hope that this has been helpful. Please do come and join us on the Patreon if you are interested. And we're also doing our Dear Becca letters on there as well and just having a general grand old time. So I hope that you will join us if you feel like it. And if not, or if so, I will see you on next week's QuitCast. Bye, everybody.